You are listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Films. For more, visit our website at www.megiddofilms.org.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 23rd of May, 2015. Thank you all for tuning in. This week's show, I'm going to continue on with similar topic to last week. I was planning to spend so long covering this issue, but mainly due to, well, the news being what it is. Today, Ireland, it seems like it's a heavy defeat as well for marriage, biblical marriage, true marriage. And in Ireland, it seems at the moment, and I'm just watching the time of this recording, there are most of the results, most of the counties in Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland, have voted yes to redefine marriage in the Constitution. That is Article 41 of the Constitution, and it also is the definition of the family. So the family and marriage are being redefined. Now, the result hasn't fully come in, but there's about so far, 62% yes, no, 37%. So, it's quite clear that the yes side will win, unfortunately, and I did one radio show last week covering the referendum, and each show I try to cover something slightly different, either different aspects of it, the roots of the homosexual rights movement. And the aspect I want to cover today is the discrimination. The discrimination, not of the LGBT, oh no, but of Christians. Christians who wish to follow the Word of God and who wish to honor God in their business or in any other area of life. This is not acceptable to the LGBT because it would be calling them out on their sin. And once the LGBT, quote-unquote, can do whatever they want and can redefine the marriage, redefine marriage and redefine the family in what any way they want, because the LGBT banner is becoming more, is becoming broader, you know, new phobia titles are coming out, like biphobia, let's get them in front of me here, transphobia, and various things. On the 17th of May, last, the U.S. President, President Obama, had a so-called International Day Against Homophobia. In a statement released, he said, it was stated, "We take the opportunity to reaffirm that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender LGBT rights are human rights, to celebrate the dignity of every person, and to underscore that all people deserve to live free from fear, violence, and discrimination, regardless of who they are or whom they love." And as time goes on, that will become broader and broader, and what will be classed as discrimination. And then notice it's discrimination against homosexuality. And what is the group that says, no, it's not just Christians, mainly Christians, because Islam has its own phobia, Islamophobia, you know, people don't say, I don't know, Christophobia, or Christianophobia, whatever kind of title you might want to put on there. But what I want to deal with is the aftermath. Now, there's so many pitfalls you can fall into here. What we are to promote is not, well, the law of the land we're supposed to obey and things like that, but we're supposed to, above all else, exalt the law of God. Summarized in the Ten Commandments, summarized in, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the second table summarized in to love thy neighbor as thyself. To it, that is the Christian's role. That is, he's an ambassador for Christ in this world. He is not there to advocate for the quote-unquote rights of every God-hating person. Now, we're going to see in a second, we're going to look at some clips in a second, from the Asher's Bakery case. I think a lot of people have heard it by now. But for anybody who hasn't heard about it, Asher's Bakery, which is a bakery company which operates in Northern Ireland, a LGBT activist went in to the bakery and asked for an order, looking for a cake with a design on it, which was in support of gay marriage and had Bert and Ernie on it and things like that. So they were asking Asher's, a well-known Christian bakery company, a company that was well-known in the area, and you can draw your own conclusions from this, it was well-known that they were Christians. And the LGBT pick this, this activist, he picks this one business, well-known to be run by Christians, and of course, he gets turned away. No, not at first. They took the order first, and then they changed their mind because of their Christian beliefs. Of course, they couldn't. Because in order to do that, you have to condone it. You are participating in that sin, a celebration of something that is sinful. There's been a court case with the Equality Commission, the so-called Equality Commission, in Northern Ireland, and recently, I think it was last Tuesday or Wednesday, I think it was Tuesday, Asher's lost the case. The court found against Asher's Bakery. And the Christian Institute in Northern Ireland has been helping Asher's, the MacArthur's, whose family have been through a lot. Now, I'm going to play some of the news clips in a second. But pray for the MacArthur family, who are in the midst of this case. Pray for Asher's Bakery, the company, that it can continue. Sign any petitions that you can find that may support them. Because, I tell you, I mean, whenever you say anything against the LGBT community, and when you are standing in their way of everything they want to do to the state or anything else, you will be targeted, regardless of who you are. And as we'll show in a while, even if you're a homosexual, they'll go after them too. So let's look at the clips from the case in Northern Ireland.
A Christian-owned bakery which refused to make a cake carrying a pro-gay marriage slogan is found guilty of discrimination.
The deep consternation right across the community in Northern Ireland at this finding, that a Christian family that have conducted themselves with the utmost graciousness and dignity throughout this case have been found guilty of discrimination.
Been found guilty of discrimination for refusing to make a cake iced with a pro-gay marriage slogan is just speaking outside the court.
Very important to us. It determines how we live, how we bring up our children, and how we run our business, how we meet and how we engage with other people in our society. So yes, we can't just leave it out when we go to work in the morning. But we do want to say thank you to the thousands of people who have supported us and who have prayed for us. And we're very grateful. And certainly those prayers would be appreciated in the future. And also thanks to the Christian Institute, who has helped us during a difficult and exhausting time for our family. We're most of all thankful to God, who's been faithful to us throughout all of this, and we know that he'll continue to bear us as we carry this burden in the future. Thank you.
Mr. McCarthy, what do you say to people who think of you as bigots?
Daniel, my microphone wasn't working.
You can see, obviously, that there's no bias there in the media at all. Of course not, and even, I can't remember, I think it was the Irish Examiner, which said that it was twice as much or three times as much. I think it was three or four times as much coverage of the yes side in the marriage referendum in the South. There's a complete bias towards the homosexual groups and a bias against the Christian groups or Christians in society. Now, we're not surprised by that. The Bible declares that the world will hate Christians because it hated Christ first. This is about a hatred of God. If, for one moment, you do not believe that, then yes, of course, these things will be surprising. But they shouldn't be. Again, keep this family in your prayers. This is an incredibly difficult time for them, but at the same time, they've conducted themselves extremely well. I mean, by the grace of God, we pray that, because, I mean, I was listening to a lot of radio shows in the South, and I was listening to a number of shows I won't even mention, but I noticed that a lot of the presenters, especially on radio, were sympathetic towards the fact that, you know, they were talking about, was there not a conscience clause, you know, that somebody against their beliefs will have to do this. Now, again, Christians should not be advocating for religious liberty, complete religious liberty. That is not biblical. The state has a responsibility to uphold the law of God, not the law of the people. Now, that may seem foreign to many people who are used to this idea. Well, it's the second table of the Ten Commandments which we're supposed to uphold, but not the first. But they all go together. If the law is broken in any point, as James said in his epistle, it is broken in every point. I think it's chapter 2, verse 10. So, it is the whole law of God, or it's none of it. You see, we have this idea that in the church, of course, Christ rules, but in the state, it's secular humanism. It's might as well be Freemasonry. It's any religion goes. And it's a mythology that it can work. It doesn't work from a pragmatic point of view. It's not biblical, so Christians should not support it. I mean, if somebody is a Christian and a politician, they are to kiss the Son. That is to worship the Son and to honor him in all the decisions that they make. They won't do it perfectly, of course, but that is what is stated for kings and rulers. And it tells us in Romans chapter 11 that they are ministers of God. The state has been instituted by God. The state is a legitimate institution of God, but it serves God. So people who in the state wage war upon God have a greater condemnation upon their heads. Oh, that the leaders of this nation and other nations around the world would tremble at the word of God, would tremble at the great condemnation that comes upon their heads for their support of such abominations. You know, groups that claim to be about equality, but are really for anti-God, anti-God's law type of legislation. And these so-called anti-discrimination laws, they discriminate against Christians. Because you will find, I'll show you some of the clips in a while, that it does, the same standard does not apply to LGBT, or if a lesbian, a gay person owns a bakery, it doesn't apply to them. If somebody came in with something that was offensive to them, it's classified as hatred, and they don't have to. But if it's the other way around, you know, support gay marriage or whatever else, well, the Christian is supposed just to do it, because to go against that is discrimination. But it's not discrimination the other way. It has been made clear time and time again. Any liberal media that I've watched over, especially over the last few days and last few weeks and months, it's quite clear the same standards do not apply. And there's a myth of neutrality in this. Then the state cannot be neutral in religious matters. It always, people have a bias. My bias, I pray by the grace of God, is toward the word of God and the law of God. But the state is always biased. The state is made up, the government is made up of fallen creatures and will have a religious bent. And people say, oh, well, it's separation of church and state. Yes, you separate church and state, but God is to rule both. The state is supposed to facilitate and not to rule over the church. That's a form of Erastianism, and that's what you get in the Church of England. The church is not supposed to rule over the state, which is what Roman Catholicism believes, still believes to this day. You can check out their official documents to see that. But the biblical position, which is held by the Reformers during the Reformation, is Christ is to be acknowledged, and he is king of church and state, but he is to be acknowledged as such. That is man's responsibility. But they are to remain separate. Like, the state goes on the line, is in sinful rebellion against God, the church has a responsibility to preach against that. However, the state is supposed to facilitate and promote true religion in the land. That is what the Covenanters and the three kingdoms, as it was back then, of England, Scotland, and Ireland, covenanted together in a solemn league and covenant, starting in 1643, and it was renewed a couple of times. They agreed to promote the true religion. And because that is a biblical covenant before God, it still stands. It cannot be revoked. And even if that was not there, the solemn league and covenant of 1643, we rulers, all people, have a responsibility. Look, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we have all responsibility in every aspect of our lives, regardless of who appreciates it and who likes it and who doesn't like it, to obey God and to give God the glory. Okay, let's continue.
A statement from one of the family members involved in that court hearing, the family that owned the Christian bakery that refused to make a cake, ice with a pro-gay marriage slogan, convicted this morning of discrimination. £500 has been awarded for the Gareth Lee, who was the person that went in and ordered that cake, which was subsequently refused by the bakery. Now, a Christian-owned baking company which refused to make a cake iced with a pro-gay marriage slogan has been found guilty of discrimination after landmark legal action in Belfast.
Okay, this is
our Ireland correspondent Chris Butler.
These are different reports, but I'm just going to go to the very last one near the end, because it will give a different aspect on it.
Had argued that decision had made him feel unworthy and a lesser person. Let's cross to Belfast, our Ireland correspondent.
This is talking about the person who basically targeted the group. I mean, I am not buying for a second that he did not know this is a Christian bakery. And then, what happens when other businesses are targeted? This is a landmark decision. This sets the precedent of how future rulings will be done. I do not buy. I think it's possible that he did not know this was a Christian bakery, but I don't buy it. I mean, Asher's was well known to be a Christian business. And people say, "Oh well," and the LGBT will argue this. "Oh well, you know, there's no such thing as a Christian business. Oh, you serve the public good. How about it's their business?" They can do with it what they like. But you see, that kind of... And I say, oh, but what if they, quote-unquote, discriminate? Look, if you really want to have a free society, why don't just go to the next bakery? Oh, I feel like a lesser person. My feelings are so hurt. Grow up. Seriously. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people in this island used to mock, say, Americans over. Oh, he said a word to me and I'm going to sue him. Well, that's the direction they're going. Anyway, let's continue with this report.
Chris Butler is there. Chris.
Simon, there's been a lot of public discussion about this case, a lot of heated discussion, and many of his arguments were played out in court today. Asher's Baking Company has made clear that they are a family-owned business and that the Christian beliefs of that family, they felt, gave them a right to turn down this order for a cake. But today, the district judge was very clear. She said what they did was against the law, and that the man had been discriminated against on the grounds of his sexual orientation. What started as a request for a cake has ended up in a legal battle and a very public debate about when someone has the right to refuse service and what is discrimination. Asher's Bakery in Belfast turned down an order to bake a cake with this slogan in support of gay marriage because they said it conflicted with their owner's Christian beliefs. Today a court found that Gareth Lee had been discriminated against by Asher's Baking Company on the grounds of his sexual orientation. He was awarded £500 of damages in the case, which was taken with the support of Northern Ireland.
See, it had nothing to do with his sexual orientation, and that has been admitted, but it had to do with the specific order. That if they had made this, they would have been seen to agree with it. And of course they could not.
Ireland's Equality Commission.
The cake and the money isn't important. It's whether or not someone like Gareth can walk into a shop or a hotel or a restaurant and wonder, can I be served here because they may have a different religious opinion than me? This is
and do whatever I like in somebody else's business? I mean, what about private property? How about, this is your own business. And say, well, what if somebody doesn't like it? Well, if they are not providing good service or whatever else, just like any capitalist model, they go out of business. But no, the government has to step in as usual.
Not about the cake.
The Christian Institute helped raise money to fund the cost of the MacArthur family's legal defence. They own the Asher's Baking Company and strongly felt their beliefs should have allowed them to turn down their order. The judgment hasn't changed that view.
Like so many others, we just want to live and work in accordance with our religious beliefs. And we know we've done the right decision before God, and we have no regrets about what we've done.
What started as a private disagreement has become a public issue in Northern Ireland, where same-sex marriage is not legal, with Christian groups on one side...
It is not pro-Christian, it is anti-gay.
...and gay rights campaigners on the other. It's also become a political battle, with Northern Ireland's largest party backing Asher's.
It's the Equality Commission that should apologise for using taxpayers' money to drag this family through the courts. Thank you very much.
It's an issue of discrimination, isn't it?
Today's judgment will not quell that wider debate about religious rights and when people need to be protected. The Democratic Unionist Party have put forward proposals for a so-called conscience clause in Northern Ireland, which would give organisations and people a chance to refuse goods or services if it conflicted with their religious beliefs. Now, outside court today, they made clear that they continue to push for that law. There may also be an appeal in this case. It's clear that this battle for rights is far from over.
Chris, thank you very much.
It determines how we live, how we bring up our children, and how we run our business. How we meet and how we engage with other people in our society. So yes, we can't just leave it out when we go to work in the morning. But we do want to say thank you to the thousands of people who have supported us and who have prayed for us. And we're very grateful. And certainly those prayers would be appreciated in the future. And also thanks to the Christian Institute, who has helped us during a difficult and exhausting time for our family. We're most of all thankful to God, who's been faithful to us throughout all of this, and we know that he'll continue to bear up.
Yeah, that part's been played before, anyway. Okay, so... Yeah, I'm just going to check now. The results are still coming in from the Irish referendum on marriage, and... Yeah, it's unfortunately... more and more results are coming in. Heavy yes in Dublin. And, probably about, in some parts of Dublin, 75% yes, 25% no. You notice also, if you look at some of the demographics, I can't remember. I think it was something, pretty much all, if you do a survey of, like, college students, Trinity College in Dublin, or UCD, or any of them, they seem to be, it's like, I think it's something in the 90s. Like, I think I saw something that's ridiculously high, 98%. But you can see why college students, especially 21, 22-year-olds, of this incredibly... Not that the previous generation was perfect or anything. Or I don't like saying, oh, 40 years ago, things were better and all that. But it, having been in college recently enough. I mean, last year I was in college, it was 2009. It was the year the Lord saved me from a wretched sin and removed me from that lifestyle and gave me a new heart, and I was a new creature in Christ. But the incredibly promiscuous lifestyle that is promoted in these colleges. If you go, I remember talking last week about UCC, University College Cork, which I attended for a while, and I was a terrible student. I wasn't a model student when I was there. I lived a promiscuous lifestyle before I was saved. And it is promoted there from day one. It's actually joked about how many sexually transmitted diseases that there are on orientation week in the first year. It's so immoral, so disgusting. I say, oh, it doesn't matter. And they promote homosexuality on the campus for a week. There's an LGBT. It's probably gotten much worse since I was there. But you can see why it's so popular with students. Not every person who's a student will agree with this. There's Christian students, there's people for other reasons are against homosexual marriage. But the vast majority, vast majority are for it. Why? Because homosexual practice, LGBT communities, they promote promiscuity. It is monogamy is in the minority. I'm going to show this with more statistics, even Irish statistics, in a second. Lord willing, I'll get time to show it all. But the people love to have it so. See, in Ireland, there's a problem with drinking. It's joked, you know, people will joke about how many people they've been with and things like that. And it's not a unique thing to Ireland or anything. But it's this shameful practice that people engage in and think it's okay. They wonder why there's more and more of a breakdown of the family in this nation, or all the nations is the same. But I think this is especially in colleges. I was even aghast years ago when I went into college and how much they were promoting a promiscuous lifestyle. Now, of course, people, liberals will kind of go, no, that's not what they were doing. Of course not. But those who do not want to see, there's no more blind person than them. Okay. Now, I remember also noticing in some of the news reports in the Republic, especially with the bringing in of homosexual marriage, so-called homosexual marriage. I hate even saying the term because homosexual marriage, it doesn't exist. Whatever they do, whatever ceremony they do, it's not marriage. It is not marriage. Marriage is between one man and one woman for life. There's nothing else that can classify as marriage. A man and a man cannot come into a union. It's physically and anatomically impossible. Same with a woman. They can't procreate. Well, people, I don't even like that argument so much. You can say a straight couple can't sometimes procreate. But that is the norm. Marriage has been instituted from the Garden of Eden before the fall of man. It is a creation ordinance. May God have mercy on this nation. Because the wrath of God is really coming upon this nation. I mean, a very scripture verse that, as I was studying through on God judging nations, in Isaiah chapter 3, verses 9 to 11, and I'll read 12 as well, it talks about when God was judging Israel. And I remember looking at these verses and thinking, this aptly describes the United States, Ireland, the United Kingdom, other nations, especially in Ireland today, as it is passing this abomination. It says in Isaiah chapter 3, verses 9 to 11, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. See, they declare it. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Continuing, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. I remember just reading that, and that particular, those verses particularly struck me. Another sign of judgment as well, verse 4, I will give children to be their princes and babes to be, to, shall rule over them. That's not talking about little children, they're going to rule the state level, but people with no wisdom. Some other verses I just wanted to look at us here. I was reading Proverbs as well today. Proverbs 28, verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, and that's the law of God. But such as keep the law contend with them. In Proverbs 28, verse 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And in 27, verse 27. And this perfectly shows, I think this verse I'm about to read. Proverbs 29, verse 27. How the homosexual and the LGBT community and the lost man who lives in a moral lifestyle and hates God will always hate the Christian and what he stands for. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. He's at war with God. And the other part of that proverb is, and he that is upright in the way, he's being regenerate, he loves the Lord Jesus Christ, he follows after him, it is clear from his life. He that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. There isn't neutrality in this issue. There really isn't. Now, I remember looking at, or listening to, a number of radio shows in the Republic, and basically talking about Northern Ireland, and this is happening in the North, and gay marriage, whether that be yes, and would anything equivalent happen? People are getting a little bit nervous, you could tell, and a lot of them were yes supporters. People are supporting homosexual marriage, or marriage equality, as it's been called. But the thing is, the point, and people always say, it'll never happen here. It'll never, oh, well, that's in Northern Ireland. They're a little bit more sensitive. This is what one radio presenter said. Oh, they're a little bit more sensitive than they are down in the Republic. Can't see it happening. Well, this is happening in Ireland, even now, even prior to this vote coming in. This is from Newsletter, the Pride of Northern Ireland. This is a Northern Ireland newspaper. You won't hear in the... Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be turning up in news in the Republic. Maybe we'll soon. Action begins against Drogheda printer in Gay Envirón. Now, I did a quick vlog on this. And keep these guys in your prayers as well. Beulah Print Shop. And they are a print shop in Drogheda. Drogheda is actually about 20 minutes, half an hour away from where I live in Dundalk. But there's action being brought against them. This article reads, as Irish citizens prepare to vote in same-sex marriage, the Southern Equality Tribunal has begun to process a complaint against the Drogheda printers which refuse to produce invitations for a civil partnership ceremony. Could you imagine how much worse it's going to be in the future when there's going to be homosexuals wanting slogans and invitations for their abomination? The Christian-owned Beulah Print and Design Company in County Louth confirmed in March that they had declined an order from Jonathan Brennan, one of their former customers. The news of the Equality Tribunal action comes on the eve of the historic referendum in the Republic on whether to legalize same-sex marriage. And it comes right after a landmark decision in Northern Ireland in which a Christian-owned bakery, Ashes, was found to be unlawfully discriminated against a gay man when it refused to produce a cake with a gay marriage slogan. So there's action being brought against it. Mike O'Leary of Beulah Print and Design told the newsletter, "The complaint has been made against us under the Equal Status Act. The first step is that we will be invited on mediation. One of the equality officers would be appointed to the case and have investigated us, would make a legally binding judgment." Oh, it won't happen here. Of course not. Until it happens. And people never, ever learn. But, of course, it won't happen. Now, again, I will say this. A lot of the radio shows I was listening to in the South, and just to get various feedback from what was going on, they were pretty much sympathetic towards what they were saying. But in Northern Ireland, they're not. A lot of the news media seems to be, well, and they're given all these, coming up with all these scenarios. A person, you know, who owns a taxi, owns a business, should be able to refuse whoever they like. It's their own business. If they want to run it badly, let them. It will hurt them financially. If they're doing something wrong. Now, of course, any kind of discrimination I abhor, but what I'm talking about, this is participation in sin. This is a lifestyle. This is sinful. This is something that's wrong. This is a moral issue. This has nothing to do with race, ethnicity, or anything like that. This is not to do with somebody refusing a black person or somebody like that. I mean, where does it stop? It's not going to, this train is gathering momentum. You can legislate against outward wrong behavior, but what the government wants to do now is regulate people's thoughts, which they can't do anyway. Okay, the next thing I want to look at is, oh yes, this is the article I meant to look at earlier. Unfortunately, I have way too much in front of me to look at, but Lord willing, we'll get through some of it. Might be an extra long show. Irish newspapers printed 3 times more yes vote articles ahead of marriage equality referendum in a study, and that is on the Irish Independent. Irish national newspapers carried 3 times more yes articles, pro-sodomite articles, in support of the marriage equality referendum than no. Claims Media Monitor, they have a misprint there, Claims Media Monitor Group. And I think anybody with a pulse following the media will see this. And it's not just unique to Ireland, UK. There's somewhat of a representation in the United States because still a sizable number of people are actually Christian. And I say sizable, it's a minority, but they are a sizable minority. Much more sizable than in the UK and in Ireland, where people who are actually regenerate, know the Lord Jesus Christ, is a lot, lot smaller. I mean, and I've been hearing it too on debate TV shows and stuff like that. I'm just trying to immerse myself in all that's been happening over the last week. That, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, it's against Christian beliefs. Homosexuality is wrong, and they'll point this out. And well, what will people say in response? Oh, well, I know a Christian, and they don't think homosexuality is wrong. Or I know a gay person who's a Christian. Again, the gay Christian movement, supported by people like Matthew Vines. No, the gay Christian movement isn't anything new. It goes back a couple of decades. Trying to prove from the Bible that the Bible doesn't say anything against homosexual marriage. You definitely can't say that it says anything positive about it. It just says, oh, well, it says nothing about that. I mean, with logic like that, you could prove anything. Now, the next article I want to look at it. I just want to talk about it a little bit. Just, it's more of a concern before I get to the next video, because I don't want to be. I'll try to. There's about 6 more clips I want to show, and I don't know if I'll be able to get a chance to show them all on the show. In cases like this, it's incredibly difficult. We need to keep the MacArthur family, the family that runs Ashers, in our prayers. We need to keep the Christian Institute in our prayers and support them financially if you possibly can. And it's a very difficult situation to be in. Having said that, we're defending the wrong issue. What do I mean by that? We're defending, and I keep hearing it time after time after time, we end up defending religious liberty. I do believe the Bible does talk about something of religious toleration. Religious toleration is different, because if you are to have a nation that was to honor God, not honor sin and sinful behavior and the devil, but to honor God, that talks in Exodus and various points, when there's a stranger in the land, to not mistreat him. That, and the point was made, for thou art a stranger in the land of Egypt. You know, we're just say somebody isn't a Christian, you don't kick down his door or anything like strange like that, and you can't force somebody to believe anything, for a start. However, the law of the land needs to be modeled after the Ten Commandments to honor God. If Christ is to be acknowledged as king over the state, not just of the church, but also of the state, we can't, and the same thing in the church, we can't discipline somebody over their thoughts. We don't know what they're thinking. But in outward, and what law should do is curtail outward acts of rebellion. Outward means corrupting the population. And should allow the church, free from its influence, by the way, to promote and teach the true religion, the Reformed faith. That is what is in the Solemn League and Covenant of 1643. That was made, that the three kingdoms of Scotland, England, and Ireland, Wales was kind of part of England at that point, would honor God in the state level and in the church and promote the true Reformed religion. However, the British Isles does not in any way uphold this. Now, even if this didn't exist, this is what the state is supposed to do. Read Romans chapter 11. Read the end of Psalm chapter 2. There's nothing indicating that just because you're in a democracy and you need to get elected, that politicians can just do whatever they want and have to follow the will of the people. Now, sometimes they will, especially if the people are Christian. But sometimes they may have to take decisions that are unpopular. But isn't this the problem of democracy? It's mob rule, as opposed to a republic where you have people have the rights to private property, to defend their property, live as they wish, use their, that the private property is a huge thing, something that came out of the Protestant Reformation. Because if you go to Exodus chapter 20, when this is a republication of the law, this is not the origin of the law of God, but this is a summarization of the law of God. Thou shalt have no gods before me. And this is not just for Israel. This is for every nation will be judged according to this standard. No gods before me. Not. We have polytheism at the state level. In the United States, too, the First Amendment to the Constitution with free speech. Do you find in the Bible Christians who say that... See, people think, because they keep getting used to this whole thing about America is a Christian nation. So, because the First Amendment to the Constitution is in the Constitution, it talks about free speech, therefore, it must be Christian. No, it's not. And there's various reasons for that we could get into, but it wouldn't serve a purpose. Most of the Founding Fathers of America were not Christian. Thomas Jefferson tore parts out of the Bible, cut the Book of Revelation out, because he described it as, was it, removing diamonds from dunghills or something like that. Like, most of them are not Christians. Washington was very weak in his faith, and many people did not believe he was a Christian. What you had with the American Constitution, according to the law of God, was a compromise. Talks about in the second commandment, false worship. We should, the state, see, what I'm getting at here is, we should not be promoting the idea of religious liberty. It has become an idolatry for the Christian in the since really the last couple of hundred years. Which really just, you know, just leave me live my life. I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone, and I just want to live according to my profession of faith. So you have so many people who are Christians with this idea going into government, where there is a lot of Christians, but then when public opinion changes, you wonder why they change and they... A Christian, especially in government and anywhere else, is supposed to honor God. If something is sinful, you do not partake. Do we do it perfectly? No. We don't. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, sadly. But what we have to promote and circulate in any way we can is... not through saying, you're fine, I'm fine, but through spreading of the truth, the gospel, of the truth of the Word of God, that Christ and God would reign in every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. And let's pray for the MacArthur family. But the thing is, we should not be fighting for religious liberty. We should fight for the law of God, for that which is right, for justice to prevail. That righteousness would exalt this nation and all the other nations on this earth. Because unfortunately in American Christianity, which is proliferated throughout the world now, we have an Anabaptist view of the government. That it's only supposed to obey the second table of the law and not the first table of the law. You do not find this principle in Scripture. They are ministers of God and they are to promote true religion and to suppress heresy, falsehood. And the thing is, just, you know, like, because often in modern day, it's usually theonomists who agree with me here, but the judicial laws don't necessarily carry forward. It's based on the law of God, the eternal law of God, that we model laws in the nation that will honor the truth of the Word of God. Edward VI is a great example. He died at 15 years old. He took the throne in a very tumultuous time in England, and he was tutored, I think, for a while, by John Knox, the great Scottish reformer, or a man who did great things in Scotland by preaching the Word of God, and God used him mightily. Edward VI promoted the true religion. He didn't get very far. He died at 15 years old. He was a very young king. He was sick a lot. But unfortunately, most Christians now say, well, that's wrong. And I mean, they're excellent preachers at times. That the Christians should have nothing to do with the state. I'm not saying, look, the way we affect this is not through top-down, through a dictatorial style. That's what's presented often in the theonomist movement, in some aspects of the theonomist movement. I don't want to broad-brush them or anything like that. Reconstructionism, dominionism. It's top-down, and kind of compromises are made. It's the sovereign will of God changing the hearts of dead sinners by bringing them into union and communion with Christ. That way, the people of the nations will want this. This is not something to be forced on the population, even though this a ruler is still supposed to honor the law of God, regardless of who likes it. But the way the Christian church should now, we should pray for this. We should preach the gospel, pray for national and revival around the world that people will turn to Christ. People don't really believe this anymore. That's what drove William Carey to go to Asia and to go to India. Because he saw that Christ would have victory over his enemies and make his enemies his footstool. That he would go for conquering. God is to be honored in every area of life, not just the places where it's convenient. Okay. Now, I don't really have time. I had a few more clips from that Astros were deeply disappointed. Keep them in your prayers. If you go on to the Christian Institute, they have their own YouTube channel, and you can watch some of these clips and the special reports. I want to get on to this idea of toleration in the LGBT community. Does it extend towards Christians? No, and they're being very militant. This is from an LGBTQ, and I think the Q stands for queer, task force, as they are pushing the homosexual agenda. No, just waiting for this clip.
I want to welcome each one of you to what...
Okay. In this clip, let me get the part. In this clip, and this is reminiscent of all these kind of groups they're very militant, they're going forward, they're trying to consolidate, well, not just consolidate what they have, but they're trying to go forward and to stifle any opposition to the way they live. We are starting to see, remember in Genesis chapter 19, the aggressiveness of the homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah. Are we not seeing? We're only seeing little bits of it now. We're only seeing small bits of it. They're planning to take over. They took over Sodom. It's a fearful thing.
Sweet year. We are seeing new attacks on our progress, requiring us to both defend the advances we've made, but also to develop proactive strategies to ensure that other barriers are not thrown in the path to our progress. One such challenge is this. We are now seeing those who would deny us freedom, who would deny us equality, those working against our equality, actively manipulating religious beliefs and religious liberty, and working to move the line drawn on the separation of church and state. They are twisting the true meaning of religious freedom as a constitutionally protected right to justify discrimination and to act as though...
Yeah, even according to... You know, like, the American Constitution allows people to be Christians and not have the government, long and short, get on their case. They say, oh, no, they're twisting the meaning of these things. They're twisting religious beliefs in order to... No, the Bible talks against homosexuality. That's what people often do, because what they want is to see their lifestyle as moral, as wholesome, as good. Because every man does that which is not wrong, but right in his own eyes. That is man. Man is self-righteous at heart. He sees himself as righteous. And that's why he hates God. He puts a judgment on the true God of the Bible. And there's no interest in him.
So they don't have to follow the same rules or the same laws as the rest of us. In states across the country, including states like Wyoming and Utah, Georgia, Texas, and North Carolina, there are attempts to include what are called religious exemptions or religious refusals, with the intended outcome to strip critical protections for LGBTQ people. Yes, we have heard about the baker who refused to make a wedding cake because their religious beliefs tell them that same-sex couples shouldn't get married.
Notice how this gets around the world, and notice how, see those people? Do you see these nasty people who stood up to us, who refuse? And anyway, we're going to make you an example. We're going to do, metaphorically, of course, like the Romans did, you know, just drag you through the streets and crucify you outside the walls of the city. They're making an example of people. Christian, shut up, and don't you dare say anything against what is right in our own eyes. Isn't this what's happening?
But this isn't just about wedding cakes being denied to us. This is about being fired from your job as a janitor or cafeteria worker working at a religiously affiliated hospital. Friends, we have worked too long and too hard to be treated differently than our friends and neighbors when it comes to basic protections like housing, employment, health care, basic protections.
Look, I keep hearing this argument from different groups. Homosexuality is a behavior. It is a lifestyle choice, whatever you want to call it. It's according to their will. It's not against their will. It is a behavior. It is a lifestyle. Nobody's forcing them into it. And how to put it? They want people, you see, in the homosexual community, I'll just get some of the statistics I used last week. No, I don't have it in front of me here. If you look at the homosexual community, there's a higher rate of promiscuity, of risky behavior, STDs, drug use, lower life expectancy. They are more dysfunctional. If they are more dysfunctional, this is not every single person who's homosexual. Some of them could hold down a job, but they're the minority. Some of them have quote unquote pretty normal lives as you look at them, but they're the minority. And you can, you know, you might know one homosexual, but the community as a whole is dysfunctional by any standard, especially against God's standard. Now, this is why, look, people kind of say, oh, well, this group has less jobs than the other group. What if one group turns up to work on time, doesn't take drugs, doesn't go out to bars all night? You see, what they're not looking for equality. They're looking for special protection. Allow me to do whatever I want, even if it's affecting the business. You see, can you imagine, right, if you're a business owner and you, just say you own a business, but the employee is, well, he's not very good, but you fire him. Then you find out later he's homosexual. Oh, discrimination. When really, so you have to take it case by case. But I think people have just accepted this idea that homosexuals are these victims. Anyway, let's continue. So, I'm going to play, this next clip I'm going to play is from TYT, which is the Young Turks.
The right has come under a great deal.
Okay, this has been Young Turks, this is in the United States. This is and you can pick a number of clips to show this same thing. Just reduce the volume just a little bit. The Young Turks is a very liberal news media outlet in the United States. They started on the internet and they got very, very big. Cenk, who's the usual presenter, he's not the presenter in this clip that I'm going to show you, was on MSNBC, so it's very much on the left side of politics in the United States. They would say centrist, but I beat that as I may. This clip will show you that it is not a two-way street. You can't, look, the homosexual can go to the Christian and ask him to do something contrary to his beliefs. Doesn't matter. The law is against you. However, if the Christian goes to the LGBT baker and asks them to do something against their beliefs, oh, is there equality here? Let's find out.
Has come under a great deal of fire for its florists and bakers refusing to serve in gay weddings, not making, you know, the floral arrangements and the cakes for same-sex marriages. Now, recently, though, they think that they've come up with a little reverse of that, where they have been discriminated against by a baker, but they might be off on a couple of key facts. So let's talk about the case that we're talking about here. In March of 2014, Marjorie Silva, owner of Azucar, a bakery, refused to make cakes that included two Bible verses. One, God hates sin. And the second, homosexuality is a detestable sin. That's a lot of words to fit on a cake, by the way.
It is.
The cake design was also to include a portrayal of two grooms holding hands in front of a cross with a red X over them. Now, obviously...
Oh, but clearly, this is according to religious beliefs, and... Well, it's discrimination. Because, is it not? You see, if you go... Oh, no, but you see... The left always has a double standard. Let's just see.
Please, she did not want to do this. Maybe that's not obvious in America in 2015, but she refused to do it, saying that it was discriminatory. And that's when the right pounced, saying, look, Christians...
You see, they turn around. Oh, you're... look, it's Christian. It's discriminatory. It's in the Bible. It's discriminating against what? My sin. The Bible calls people out their sin, and it's really the Bible, and anybody who believes the Bible is to be hated. And this is obvious. But what do these... And I can pick loads and loads of clips saying the same thing. Should it be balanced? Should be there... Okay, they can the lesbians and the gays and the homosexuals and etc. They could refuse to serve the Christian, but the Christian can't refuse to serve the lesbian. Is that what they're going to say?
They're being targeted in the exact same way. They're refusing to make the cakes that we want to make with the things we want on there. Now, thankfully, the Colorado Civil Rights Division came out and said it is not the same thing. It is not discriminatory because it's not. It's not that she refused because of the fact that they're Christians. It's because of exactly what they want on there, saying, in the same manner that she would not accept an order from anyone wanting to make a discriminatory cake against Christians, she will not make one that discriminates against gays. The evidence demonstrates that Silva would deny such requests to any customer, regardless of creed. So, sorry, not sorry, though.
And isn't that what happened with Asher's? No! Asher's refused to take that particular order because... It was against their beliefs. Oh, sorry, it's not the same. Why? Because we say so. Oh, because the Colorado Civil Rights Division say so.
Oh, this is not the equivalent to attacking the right.
I thought, again, with the gay cakes... Mm-hmm. Again, with the... I thought the Republican Party was the party of business. Turns out it's the party of Baker.
Puts up in a second that he's a comedian. You see, and this is another irritating thing with a lot of these commentators. They're always using satire. And just... They can never be serious. And then when they do get serious, you just see how nasty they are. Anyway, let's... So there is a double standard. No, it's only the Christian can never say no. If there's something in the Bible, well, it doesn't matter. You see, that's not discrimination from one side to the other, but it's discrimination the other way. That's what they're saying. Christianity is being singled out. Now, I was going to play another clip as well. There was a no vote video. I'm going to show a clip from one of the homosexual men in the video. There was a no vote video for voting no to homosexual marriage. And one of the men in it, and I'll show that's the clip I'll show in a second. Like, these would have been men who were for civil partnership back in 2010 when they introduced it in Ireland. Now, I was going to play it and go through it, but I think for the sake of time, we won't today. The one problem I have with it is, I mean, one person emailed me about sharing it, and I saw a lot of people sharing it, Christians, godly Christians sharing it. But the problem with it is, like, a lot of the arguments for voting no was, well, homosexuality is okay, but we need to just give them civil partnership. We'll just put them into the Constitution. A Christian cannot abide to that. We cannot legislate for sin. We cannot allow for sin. The Romans chapter 13. What is the role of government? Need to go here again. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. 3 and 4, which is the really important part of rulers. For rulers are not a terror to good works. In Ireland, rulers in this nation are a terror to good works, but to the evil. If it's evil, according to what? God's law. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. But he is the minister of God to thee for good. He's a minister to God. He's to serve God. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And if rulers and judges and magistrates do not do that, be sure your sin will find you out and the wrath of God will come upon this nation. It's already come upon. For God has given them over. Romans chapter 1. There is the judgment of God right now upon Ireland. For the wrath of God is revealed, Romans 1:18. From heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that they knew that they know God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto, this is the judgment of God, vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate means to fail the test, to be rejected. And all those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are reprobate. All the things that list haters of God, disobedient to parents, without understanding. That's your children now, disobedient to parents. Knowing the judgment of God, verse 32 at the very end. Who knowing the judgment of God, People know the judgment of God. It's revealed from heaven. They know in their heart. You see, the thing is, the law of God's written in the human heart. But they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Spiritual death. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. A person who is outside of Christ is spiritually dead. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The whole nation has pleasure in the practice of sodomy. Could another verse so aptly and clearly describe what has happened in Ireland today? I think not. So anyway, in this no video, often there's compromise here. Now, of course, I will quote homosexuals stating and reiterating the points that I've made to show that it is not just me saying this, but it's the homosexual community themselves. They do not believe in monogamy, but we have to realize we cannot go with the middle ground and say, oh, civil partnerships are okay. They're not okay. It should be, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, we've legalized homosexuality back in 1993 in the Republic, and, you know, we're a much better society now. No! It should be against the law still to this day. And the thing is, people are Christians are sharing on videos promoting the idea, we got to be careful, that homosexuality is okay. Just don't do it in front of me and just don't get married. We're supposed to oppose sin. Not support it. Oppose it. We pray for those people who are involved in this lifestyle. If anybody's watching and has identified themselves as a homosexual or transgender or anything else, we pray by the Lord Jesus Christ that you would be saved, that you'd be washed by the blood of the Lamb from your filthiness, from your corruption. As I once was, I am a sinner. All Christians are sinners. But the thing is, by being in Christ, you can be accounted righteous by the merits and on the grounds of the merits of what Jesus Christ did alone. Our greatest deeds are but filthy rags. But this generation, or anybody outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, does not want to hear that. I'm going to look at one last video on the tolerance issue. This is from a homosexual. Now, I'm quoting this just to show how intolerant and vicious the LGBT community is to one of their own. Homosexuality is sin. We can never... The videos on the no side, all of them are compromises with the truth. All of them. I may play clips and say, that is true, that supports what I'm saying. But the thing, or what the Bible says... But we cannot say, oh, well, they have civil partnerships. There can be no compromise. We are not doing this just to preserve the little bit of religious freedom that we have left. God's law is to be exalted, not our comfort. Okay, I'm going to play this clip. This is from a man who...
I'm a gay man. And I have been gay for as long.
Okay, I'm going to play the introduction of it. And he'll basically introduce himself. This is from a talk. He was against... Well, he was against the redefinition of marriage. But he was for the civil partnership law. But just what I want to focus in on here is... Look, I'm not interested in what the homosexual thinks of marriage. That's not what I'm interested in. That he affirms is between one man and one woman. That's great. Oh, that's wonderful and everything like that. What I'm trying to show here is that they are intolerant to anyone who will stop their momentum going forward.
I'm a gay man, and I have been gay for as long as I can remember. And I grew up in a country absolutely and utterly hostile to the idea that a man could love another man. And he's not now.
Okay, here's the point now. That I just wanted to play that just for an introduction. Here's the part now I want to focus in on. He's talking about, because he's opposed the vote, his treatment of people who are of the same quote-unquote orientation.
Country. We live in one of the finest countries in the world in which to be gay. The law changed, attitudes changed. 2 years ago, I got involved almost accidentally in this debate, and I discovered the full tolerance of liberal Ireland. Does anybody have Paddy Manning's address? So that we can strangle him. Paddy Manning should be shot. Or that most homophobic of memes, Paddy Manning is a self-hating gay man. And I get that almost daily, the self-hating gay man. And remember where that comes from. That's a psychiatric idea from the 1930s. It's a view that gay men were so disgusting, they must disgust themselves. Can you imagine having that repeated at you by LGBT activists who claim they're for tolerance? Or people with Charlie avatars on their social media accounts saying Paddy Manning should be shut up or shot. They don't seem to have any idea that free speech is something vital to defend. Why is it that it's words like compassion that are always perverted in the service of bad causes? This referendum is not about compassion for gay people.
So anyway, all I wanted to play there is just to show there is no toleration in that community. It all seems peace and love on the outside when you agree with them. When you agree with them and you don't call them out in their sin, or you don't get in their way. But if you do, the full wrath of that community, their perversion, their disgusting lewd comments are leveled against these people. They're vicious. And then you start to see, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were, if you look at any account in the Bible of homosexuality, it is not just negative, incredibly negative. Showing that, what was the first time you saw a homosexual man in Genesis? Trying to rape men. And it wasn't just some of them. There were lots of them. This is kind of a continuation from what I would call some of the mythology that's kind of going around. So, discrimination laws have been, there's double standards. How many people, now I'm getting some of these statistics from homosexual publications themselves. There are 3,000 people, or 1,500 quote-unquote relationships, little under that actually, but we'll say 3,000 just to round it up, who are in civil partnerships. Now, I just want to get this website where I got it from. I'm going to put up three pages in front of me. That will show they're not really interested in marriage or even what they... No, you might get a... There's a few of them are going to do it. Yeah, there are. It's going to be... As there were civil partnerships, there was about almost 3,000 people entering into civil partnerships across every country in county in Ireland to June 2014. So this is the only statistics I was able to find. The number's probably more since then, but we'll go with this figure. This is dated back in August 2014. And this is from GLEN, which is Equality, Respect, Progress, Gay and Lesbian Equality Network. So this is from a gay website. And also, I want to bring up, this is a study done by Irish Times with an article called How Many People in Ireland Are Gay? And then the last one I want to look at is the number of people in the Republic of Ireland who are married in real marriages. Now, I want to compare the thing that's been put forward by the media is, and by LGBT activists themselves, showing, really confirming what Marsha Geese is saying, that they're really just trying to destroy the marriage in general. They don't believe the marriage should exist at all. But it would make it seem that all these people, or at least a large chunk of them, want to get married. Now, they got civil partnerships. They only was allowed back in 2010. Now, the civil partnerships became available in April 2011. Since then, 1,467 lesbian and gay couples have entered into civil partnerships. I've no doubt that that number is bigger now, but we'll go with that figure. We'll say a little bit higher than that, but we'll say, we'll take the 3,000 people number, right? 3,000 LGBT whatever relationships, civil partnerships. So you'd think, and this is a good barometer to show, well, how many people are going to be interested in this kind of redefinition of marriage? So, 3,000, in a survey done by the Irish Times, dated the 27th of March, 2015, says, when the Irish Times, Ipsos, MRBI family poll, asked people to describe their sexuality, of course, it asked the question, does that extend to new willingness to talk about sexuality more specifically, blah, blah, blah. So quote from this, when the Irish Times IPSOS MRBI family values poll asked people to describe their sexuality, 1 in 25 or 4% of respondents described themselves as gay, lesbian or bisexual. The real figure may be higher, of course they think it's always higher, given that 10% of people polled chose not to answer the question. The margin of error on the 4% statistic was 1.3% because of those, that 10% who did not answer the question. Now, they didn't answer the question, therefore they must be gay. Right. And it says, the numbers may come as a surprise to some. Now, study after study after study has shown that the population is 1% to 3% homosexual. Study after study. It may be lower than that, maybe higher than that, but it's around anything between 1% to 3% conservative estimates. So this is around that figure, okay? Okay, I'm going to take two of the statistics, right? I'm going to take the Irish Times, one of the old polls that I can find, how many people are actually homosexual, 4%. But I'm also going to compare it with the 10%, the one that's banded around a lot. Even amidst the figure of 10%, the Irish Times says this, which is very pro-homosexual, as all the publications are. One reason is that the figure of 10% for the proportion of homosexuals in the population has persisted as a widely accepted guesstimate. This number seems to have made its way into the public. It has made its way into the public consciousness. Just to correct their error, it has. So it seems to have come into the public consciousness on the foot of the Kinsey reports. For Kinsey's. The father of the sexual revolution who took information from known pedophiles. Oh, it's a great fountain of he's dealing with Van Bolusek, the Nazi pedophile, also a man by the name of Mr. Green, Table 42, which in its infamous Table 34, numbered the number, and if you're squeamish, maybe you might not want to listen to the next 30 seconds, talked about orgasms with children as young, I think it's as young as 4 months. It's been quite a while since I looked. But they were a few months old. And orgasms described by Kinsey, where they get a lot of statistics, and a lot of the fraudulent science that is used to legitimize the homosexual lifestyle, said many children were suffering excruciating pain, he described, and would scream if movement was continued, and would fight away from the adult partner and make violent attempts to avoid climax, although they derived definite pleasure from the situation. So, That's Kinsey. Kinsey was a sadomasochistic homosexual pervert who died of self-inflicted wounds. He was promiscuous. He had multiple. He did pornography. You could go on and on. That's where most of his filth and vile comes from. The world has been made over in the image of a pervert, Alfred Kinsey. Now, I've done several shows on Alfred Kinsey, so I won't go into it here, but if you want to learn more, there's the Kinsey Syndrome, which is a film done by, I don't know if I have the DVD in front of me, but it's a film made by Christian J. Pinto of Dullum Films. Now, I think it was the American Film, can't remember the exact title of. Chris has always got different titles for different projects, but the American History Films production or something like that. But anyway, Chris Pinto made the documentary called The Kinsey Syndrome, and there's a website called thekinseysyndrome, .com. I think that's the website, but if you look it up in Google, you will definitely find it. Or you can also, I've done several radio shows, one covering, doing a lot of covering the ground in Kinsey. It's called The Homosexual Agenda and the Normalization. The Normalization of Sexual Perversion. It is on YouTube. It is not on MP3 anymore because the only thing that's on MP3 is the last 14, 15 shows. That's all I can fit on the Podomatic website. But it is still on YouTube. So if you go onto YouTube, you can watch the whole thing and it'll show you clips from various documentaries about Kinsey's life. So this is where they're getting the 10% from. And wonderfully, the Irish Times get something right every now and again, but we're thankful when they do. So, anyway, so we're going to take that 4%. Now, okay, it says 3,000 people are in civil partnerships. 3,000 homosexuals are in civil partnerships of 180,000 LGBT people. Now, how do I get that statistic? That's 4% of the 4.5% or 4.6 million Irish people. That's the population of Ireland, roughly. These are rough statistics that I've just got from various official sources, some from LGBT, some from Consensus, etc. So about 180,000 people then, according to this Irish Times MRBI poll, which is consistent, but 4, 3, maybe even 1%. People even say it's less than that. Who knows? Are homosexual. It's consistent with study after study, other than the fraudulent Kinsey scientific so-called pseudoscience. However, I will look at the statistics to see how many LGBT people. Now, no, there's one thing about this. This 1 in 25, this is all going to be adults. I imagine so. They're not going to be going up to 10-year-old children. So you have to factor in, this is all adults of a certain age, maybe like 18 and up. I imagine so, that this is who they're. So I'm making an assumption there, but it doesn't vary the statistics very much. So we're being generous. It's probably lower than that, because we're probably including in that 4%, 4% of the 4.6 million, a higher number than it actually is. But anyway, 3,000 of 180,000. How many people? How many people of the gay community or the gay population were into civil partnerships? 25%? That would seem like a low take up, but you know, people bursting at the seams to get in. 50%? Oh, that'd be really a success. Now, this says almost 3,000 people enter into civil partnerships across every county in Ireland. And it says in the subtitle, civil partnerships continue to be a great success. This is seen as a great success. And I'm taking their own standards here. Up to the end of June 2014, showing that almost 3,000 people have entered into a civil partnership. So almost 3,000 people have entered into a civil partnership. They see that as a great success. That's less than 2%. And notice, that's all adults. Less than 2%. 2% if you round it up. 2% of the LGBT have entered into civil partnership. And if you look at the other statistic that I quoted last week, 8% of people being in relationships, I think it's longer than a year, I can't remember, but not exclusively. We confirm this. In the years that have gone by, how many people have been in long-term relationships waiting for civil partnership to come along? Less than 2%? Less than 2% to 4% of the population. But we need to redefine the family in order to facilitate them. Not only that, right? Okay, you say, well, I don't agree with the 4%, 10%. The 10% Kinsey figure. If you take, if it is actually 10% of the population are homosexual, which has never been verified ever, which would be 460,000 people in Ireland, if you take 10% of the whole population of 4.6 million, 460,000, that's 3,000 people. And you see, this 10% doesn't come from me, it comes from the homosexual community. 0.65% of people have entered into civil marriage. 0.65%. Which, according to them, is over 99.35% of people are not. And as we see from the statistics last week, the norm in the homosexual community is vast, unbelievable promiscuity. And you say, well, you know, it's the same in the quote-unquote straight community. No, it's not. Even though, look, married life is not what it is. People are not being faithful in marriages, of course. People are sinful. But if you look at the statistics again, 37%, 1.7 million of the population of Ireland is married. And this includes, this 37% of people includes children who are not able to marry yet, and also includes LGBT. 2% to 37%. Oh, we haven't quite caught up yet. It is completely different. It is completely different. A tiny minority are interested in civil partnerships. So why do, if they are not interested in marriage, which they seem not to be, you would expect a huge number of civil partnerships. We've only seen about 1,500. There's a tiny amount. It's the hatred of God. The hatred of God. Because these people, the Labour Party in Ireland, which are, you know, put in their manifesto, I think, a couple of years ago when they were being elected in, and they wanted to make this an issue. But they also want to bring in abortion. Isn't it astonishing, right? The people who are for so-called marriage equality, get this, are also for abortion. They are not for, are they? They're not for the equality of the unborn child. They're for the slaughter of babies. Not everybody. I'm aware of a few homosexuals that were anti-abortion. It's not every single case, but the vast majority of them are. All these people, not necessarily homosexuals themselves, but are for the redefinition of marriage, are for the slaughter of babies in the womb. How about equality for the unborn? No, no. No, this is a different issue. Oh, Christian, you've completely misunderstood it again. You see, the baby is not a person. Oh, but in the case with the baker, you said the discrimination was... Oh, what was he said? He said he felt like less of a human. But the baby in the womb is not even treated as a human being. Who's really being discriminated against? Who is being butchered in where it should be the safest place on earth for them to be. Calvin made this analogy, it's like going to somebody's home and killing them in their own house is much worse than doing the deed outside of their home. May God have mercy on this nation as they look more and more pictures. It's vile. And this is going to come out, and there's going to be public acts of homosexuality. They are getting bolder. And for anybody who has eyes to see and ears to hear, look, if anybody's ever been involved in that lifestyle, if anybody is in that lifestyle, there is hope, but it's not in yourself. It is only in Christ Jesus. Flee to Him. Repent of your sin. Run to Christ. He is a willing Savior. All those who thirst from the fountains of living water, He is a Savior. But if you are self-righteous, if you love your sin, then there is no hope for you. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath of the Lamb described in Revelation chapter 14. And flee into a Savior who is willing to save all those who turn to Him. This has been Paul Flynn. God bless you all. Talk to you next week.